A participant.
Good afternoon. This is Stuart Corrigan, and I'm speaking to John Seddon today. John Seddon is chairman of Vanguard Consulting. Afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Stuart.
Can you tell me a little bit about what it is Vanguard does for organisations specifically? You know, what is it you've been doing over the past 20 years?
Okay, well, Vanguard only really does one thing. We help organisations get out of a command and control design and into a systems design because it's a better way to design and manage work. And that's all we do.
And what does that mean?
Well, most organisations are designed on traditional command and control principles, you know, top-down functional hierarchy, separation of decision-making, work, managers make decisions, the workers do the work. And the job of management is to manage budgets and manage people. It's essentially a waste of time. It was Deming who taught us that we must understand and manage our organisations as systems. And we've developed a way of helping managers make that change for service organisations, and that's probably our USP.
And therefore, if I was a manager and I was moving to a systems design, what is it I leave behind moving away from command and control, and what is it I move, what is it I get by going towards a systems design?
Oh, well, you leave behind a lot of things. You know, you leave behind spending a lot of time in meetings in the management factory because you're going to destroy the management factory. You leave behind the idea that you should manage the organization by the budget and with targets and standards and those ideas, because instead you use measures that relate to the purpose of the work from the customer's point of view, and you make sure those work measures are being used in the workflow by the people who do the work. It means, therefore, that your job is to get out and work with the workers on the work, to act on the system, to take responsibility for things that are beyond the workers' control. So if you're a manager looking at this change, it will change your life.
And from the customer's perspective, what do they get?
Oh, well, that's simple. Much, much better service. And from an organisational point of view, at much, much lower costs.
Okay. So how did you get into this field, John?
A series of accidents, really. Going back into the mid-80s, I was asked to study TQM programs to find out why they failed. So I had to study quality. That's where I came across the work of Deming, who taught me that we invented management and it's crap, so we should reinvent it, and introduced me to the ideas of organizations as systems. But nobody had really cracked the problem of how to treat service organizations as systems, so that became the life's work, as it were. And a series of opportunities to learn things, essentially being one page ahead of the client all the time. Rather scary, but very interesting.
Okay, and you've been doing that for?
Well, since the mid-80s. That's quite a long time.
And why is it services different from manufacturing then? Because, you know, a lot of people listening to this will be going, well, you know, this all started in manufacturing. If I know how to do manufacturing, then it applies to service as well.
Well, of course, there are some ideas that are common, you know, like in manufacturing, cost is in flow. In service, cost is in flow. That's true. But the big distinguishing feature of service organizations is the nature of demand, much more variety of demand. And therefore, you've got to design a system that will absorb the variety of customer demand. So studying demand is something that's peculiar to designing service systems. You don't have to do that in manufacturing. Also, a lot of the problems you've got to solve in manufacturing are associated with working with machines. Don't have any in service organizations. So, you know, you've got different problems to solve.
Okay. So, you know, you look at the current climate, the current economic issues going on right now. You know, there's managers who are spending a lot of money at the moment, probably going on courses, doing MBAs, yet they're probably not getting a lot of benefit from it. You know, why is it that the British public sector and private sector are currently struggling and failing right now?
Well, lots in that question. I mean, let's go back to MBAs. Henry Mintzberg did say MBA should stand for maybe best avoided. Others have called it master of bugger all. The big problem with MBAs goes right back to the origins of the MBA, when the debate amongst the academics was, should we do a management course that is general or specific? If they'd gone for specific, then we would have been teaching managers how to manage different kinds of organizations. Unfortunately, they went for general, and the only thing that's general across organizations is finance. And so we've taught managers how to manage organisations as financial entities, well, that's a really dumb idea, because your finances are a rear view mirror indicator. It's a lagging indicator, if you know, which is what systems thinkers learn. Indeed, Taichi Ono learned it in manufacturing. We proved the same in service organisations, that if you manage costs, you generally drive your costs up. When you learn to manage value, you can drive your costs out.
So why is it then that the stuff that gets taught on courses, like, for example, you know, leadership skills, communication skills, that kind of stuff, why doesn't that work then?
Well, it's all just popular junk. You know, it's based on the assumption that it's the people that make the difference. But it's just not true. It's the system that makes the difference. You know, it's what Deming described as the 95%. So if you're doing people programs of any sort, whether it's managing poor performers, motivating your people, or being a brilliant leader, you're working on the 5%. It's essentially a waste of time.
Can you give me an example of that? You know, what does that look like, for example, in the public sector?
In the public sector, leaders are encouraged by the Department for Communities and Local Government to have a vision and to think about the way they'd like to see the world in the future. I think they'd be much better off studying what's actually going on in their systems and learning about the opportunities for radical improvement.
Okay. So what would you have, you know, specifically, what would you have leaders do differently then?
Well, you know, Ono said to his managers, if you're not washing your hands three times a day, you're probably in the wrong place. You know, his message was, the only way you can lead an organisation is by understanding how the work works. You should be in the work. And it's the same for any leader of any system. If you're not spending your time understanding how the work actually works, then the chances are you're not going to achieve very much. Indeed, you might even make things worse.
So in other words, what you're saying is the role of a leader first is to get knowledge about the business and how it actually works. Would a lot of leaders not say, well, come on, John, I mean, you know, I've been managing this business now for 20 years. Are you suggesting that I don't know how it works?
Yeah, of course, and that's the way they would think. Of course, what they don't appreciate is that the numbers that they're looking at their desk are completely misleading in terms of the way in which their business makes or loses money or gains or loses customers. They think they're in control, but the truth is they're not in control of very much. But this is it's a common phenomenon. I mean, I was recently looking at a video of some people down on the South Coast, you know, who said that along the lines of, you know, when Vanguard came into our business 7 weeks ago, we thought they were crazy to try to tell us that we didn't understand how our business works. But, you know, 7 weeks later, we've learned some things that we just never knew. It's fundamentally changed their view of the world and of their business. And this is a tiny business turning over about £2.5 million, and they've already saved £500,000 in operating costs and improved their service, you know, that's in less than 2 months.
So specifically, what does it mean for a leader? You know, what would the typical day of a leader look like if they were getting knowledge about the work and spending time in the work?
Well, as you say, they'd be spending time in the work. I think the most important concept I would stress to leaders is that their job is to make sure the plates are spinning, and not necessarily to go and spin the plates themselves. So you want to find out, you know, what's going on, what are people working on, do they need to be connected with other people working on a similar or related issue? You know, that's the job. And you know, leaders who are very successful at getting it out there, talking about the work, encouraging people to solve problems, start to find that problems are being solved that they didn't even know existed. And I think that's a measure of success when you start to realise that.
So you've obviously met some fantastic leaders and probably trained some great leaders over the years. Give me an example of a great leader and what they would do, you know, because there's this concept of the first 100 days and how the first 100 days are so important. What would a systems thinking leader do in the first week, the first 2 weeks of, you know, taking over a new department or a new organization?
Yeah, I would say it's more like the first 2 months. I mean, one of the leaders I've worked with throughout his career is Peter Edwards, and whenever he arrived in a new organization, he spent the first 2 months getting out there, understanding how it's actually working. Which means getting out to the customers, finding out what's happening at the point of transaction, studying how the organisation serves its customers or fails to serve its customers, and studying the whole as a system. You know, within 2 months, he would have a pretty good handle on how it was working, what, you know, we would call the what and why of current performance. And then from there, he would take action to achieve very rapid change. I mean, I can remember one of the first organizations we worked in together. It was a small organization, probably around 600 people in the telecom sector. It was losing £1 million a month, and we got it to break even in 6 months. Extraordinary performance.
And would you say, you know, are those kind of results typical? I mean, is that the kind of thing? Because, you know, again, leaders go, well, our budget is if we could do 5% improvement this year, wouldn't that be great? But what you're saying, actually, is if leaders think differently about how to design and manage work, then they can go way, way beyond that.
Yeah, that's always true. You know, systems thinkers never have a plan for change. One of the reasons is that when you look at the kinds of results that they achieve, they're numbers you would never put in a plan. You know, well, just think about some of the public sector examples. You know, the government target is for processing housing benefits in a month. Systems thinkers do it in less than a week. Housing repairs are similar, about a month. Systems thinkers do it in a few days. We've just been doing some work in financial services where what used to be in new business processing that used to involve a front end in the UK, 144 people in India, and then more work in the UK is now done by 22 people in the UK. You wouldn't put these numbers in a plan.
No, because people would be terrified that they would never ever achieve them.
That's so, right.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. So what does a typical, you know, change program look like? What would you say, let's say a leader says, right, I've had enough, I've decided I need to change, and what's the first thing that they need to do?
Well, the first thing they need to recognise if they're working with us is that they're going to be doing the work. So we take them out and help them study their organisation as a system. It's time to clear your diary, free up your time, get out there, study it, get knowledge. It takes as long as it takes, and that just depends on how much time you give it. But, you know, typically you can get sufficient knowledge to make a start in 5 or 6 weeks, and then you start by redesigning whatever it is you want to set about redesigning. The clever thing about the way in which you study the system is you not only learn what's wrong, but you also start to learn what it is you've got to design for from the customer's point of view. And when you get into a place to redesign it, you're completely confident that what will happen will improve things. However, you don't know by how much. And then you always get knocked out that the results you get are much more than you expect.
And what would you say to leaders? Because, you know, I can hear leaders all over the country now going, what, you want me to spend a few days or even a few days in the work, understanding the work? Don't you realise I have work to do? What would you say to people who say, well, I just don't have time to do that?
Yeah, but I thought the whole point of the conversation I was having with this leader is they want to change their system. And if they think they're going to carry on doing the work they currently do, they kind of miss the point. A lot of what they currently do, they're going to learn, is essentially a waste of their time. So this is going to change the way they manage. It's going to change the way they think about their organisation. And if they won't invest the time in doing it, well, that's fine. Let's not start. It's amazing, you know, when you put this to leaders and you give them an opportunity just to, you know, what we often do is just, you know, take a couple of days. Let's go out and start having a look for a couple of days so you get an idea of the kind of things you're going to learn if you spend more time doing this. And once they start seeing the things that they're going to learn, the opportunities that they provide, it becomes self-evident that they've got to follow this route.
So at a high level then, what are the kind of things they're typically going to have to tackle? Because this is not just about process redesign, is it?
Not at all. No, it's changed the system. So at a high level, they're going to understand things they never understood before, like demand. Flow, true capability of the organisation to deliver what matters to its customers. They're going to have to change their measurement system because we've got to measure things that are going to help us understand and improve the work. So the current MI all gets changed. Once they've redesigned the organisation, you know, the first thing you do is redesign the service to the customer, and then you've got to redesign management roles to be complementary to the new service design. You can't leave the old hierarchy in place because that would kill it off. Ultimately, you end up with a different structure where the people who are doing the work, controlling and improving it, management have complementary roles, and the management information surrounding that is all related to useful measures to help you understand and continue to improve the system. And if you've been successful in designing a system against customer demand, then you effectively you achieve an adaptive system. So as demand from your customer changes, so your system changes.
Okay. All right. Well, two final questions then.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we talk a lot about is really this whole issue of frontline staff learning how to do the analysis and make the change led by leaders.
Yeah.
Why use frontline staff? Why
is
that so?
Because they deliver the work. You know, you need problem-solving capability in the workflow. One of the biggest mistakes of traditional designs is that we keep design away from process. Whereas, you know, what they do in the Toyota system and what we do in service organizations is we put design into process. So it's the job of the people who do the work to both do the work and improve the way it's done with the help of their managers.
Okay. So therefore, a manager needs to learn not just how the work works, but how to improve it and how to continuously improve it, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Finally, then, let's say that someone listening to this recording is interested in a first step, finding out a little bit more. Where do they go? What site do they go to? How do they just take that next step to find out a bit more? What should they do?
Read anything, go to any of the Vanguard websites, get books, as you read, go have a look in your own organization. Start to see the things that you're going to learn to see as a systems thinker that for you will create a completely different world. It's really, you've got to want to change your thinking. That starts with getting curious. So read things that feed your own curiosity, then go and see in your organizations whether some of these concepts are actually true in practice for you. For example, the importance of studying demand. There are plenty of easy opportunities to do that and start seeing it as a big lever for improvement and so on.
Excellent. Okay, John, thank you very much. And no doubt you and I will speak again soon.
It's my
Cheers.
Pleasure. Good afternoon to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. John Seddon
has gone. Recording ended.